This podcast series discusses 21st century competencies in foreign language teacher education in seven European universities. The series is funded under the Erasmus Plus program, and it is part of the project CONNECTED, which stands for Coherence in European Teacher Education, creating transnational communities of practice through virtual scenarios. Each episode in this podcast series focuses on one 21st century competence in the local context of one or two of the seven partner universities across Europe.
Welcome to this podcast, where our main topic is multiliteracy in foreign language education. This podcast is the first in this series where we discuss different 21st century competencies. This podcast is one of the resources that are created in the Erasmus Plus project CONNECTED with seven European universities. My name is Kaisa Hall, and I lead our CONNECTED team here in Helsinki. I'm a university lecturer at the University of Helsinki, and I teach future language teachers. I'm also the head of subject teacher education in the Faculty of Educational Sciences. I have two guests here with me today, a language teacher from a school and a teacher educator from the university. I would like to start this podcast by letting them introduce themselves. Taija, would you like to start?
Hi, my name is Taija Palokankare. I'm a teacher in elementary school, qualified to teach all the way until university, but have chosen elementary school and been there for 23 years now. And really, really enjoy my work. In addition, I work with Kaisa here at the University of Helsinki with the STEP program, and I've been mentoring student teachers since 2006.
Thank you, Taija. And Taija, you refer to STEP, and STEP is our international subject teacher education program. Our regular program is taught in Finnish, and we also have a Swedish language program in our faculty. And then Toni.
Yes, my name is Toni Mäkipää and I work as a postdoctoral researcher in the Faculty of Educational Sciences at the University of Helsinki. And I'm also a language teacher and I'm a teacher of English, Swedish and French.
All right, thank you and welcome to both of you. It's lovely to have you here to chat with me. Today we're talking about competencies that in the Finnish basic education we refer to as transversal competencies. These sets of competencies are something that are referred to as 21st century skills by the OECD and as competencies of democratic culture by the Council of Europe. But why do we need these skills and what do they really mean? The world and societies have gone through major changes in economy and technology in the past decades. And we don't even know what changes are ahead. These changes require the current and future workforce to have different and additional skills and competencies than the previous generations. That is why our education needs to change and include the practice of these skills during the school years. Here is a little introduction of what these skills are. These skills or competencies are equal to the knowledge, skills, values, attitudes and dispositions that form the basis for lifelong learning and social participation. They aim to support students' growth as human beings, develop their competencies for participating in the democratic society, and support the development of a sustainable way of life. Students also need support in recognizing and appreciating their own strengths and potential for development. The basic framework for the OECD divides the necessary skills into four major categories: core subjects and 21st century themes, learning and innovation skills, information, media and technology skills, and life and career skills. However, these skills or competencies have been divided differently by different countries and different school systems. The Council of Europe denotes four key descriptors for what they call the competencies of democratic culture. These are values, attitudes, skills, as well as knowledge and critical understanding. In addition, however, the Council of Europe has validated altogether 20 descriptors for different skill sets. So, in Finland, we talk about transversal competencies or cross-curricular themes that cut across the boundaries of individual subjects. In basic education, the transversal competencies are divided into seven competence areas, while in the upper secondary school, they're grouped a little differently into 6 competence areas. The 7 transversal competence areas in basic education are the following: thinking and learning to learn, cultural competence, interaction and expression, managing daily life, taking care of oneself and others, multiliteracy, ICT competence, working life and entrepreneurial competence, and participation, influence, and building a sustainable future. So let's first talk a little about transversal competencies in general. Taija, what do transversal competencies mean in your work, and how do you integrate them into your teaching of foreign languages?
Well, working in elementary school actually means that these are more or less, most of these are more or less present all the time, and we don't even have to think about them. So these, at least the 4-5 first ones, are present in every day at work when you're working with elementary school pupils. You don't even have to think about teaching them or integrating them into your teaching because it just comes naturally. So thinking and learning to learn, we solve problems, we write sentences on the board. It's like, so these are the sentences, come up with the rule, or what's the rule? We take care of each other, we do pair work, we learn to respect others, we do projects using iPads, Chromebooks, whatnot. We make videos in different languages. So it's very natural for most of these to fall into their places without having to do much planning.
Okay, so would you say that they were present in your teaching already before they were actually like defined in the core curriculum?
Pretty much, and I think that it is also because being a language teacher in elementary school, you need to adapt to a different kind of role as opposed to being a subject teacher in upper levels. If you think about the fact that like the class teachers have got a very close connection with their pupils. And elementary school world is based on the fact that they've got their own groups, they've got their own safe adult, and everything evolves around that, those units. And I think that if you want to work in elementary school, you have to have certain qualities that are closer to that of a class teacher. So if you know what I mean.
Okay, yes. Thank you, Taija. So now, almost the same question to Toni. So what do transversal competencies mean in your work, and how do you integrate them into your teaching?
As Taija said, I don't have to think about them constantly, so that they are present pretty much all the time. So for example, learning to learn, that's an instrumental learning goal of all education, and we all should become self-regulated, lifelong learners, and for that we need learning to learn skills. So that's why that skill particularly is present in all the courses, but of course the other competencies too, well-being, etc. So it is an important aspect of all learning. And when my new course starts, I always present the learning goals and the content of the course, and then I encourage my students to set their own personal learning goals and then reflect on the process regularly during the course. So in that sense, I at least try to enhance their learning to learn skills.
Okay. And then, like in general, what do you think, Toni, how does foreign language teacher education prepare future teachers for the teaching of transversal competencies?
I think that it prepares them really well, because in many courses we discuss the transversal competencies in diverse ways. And many students often say that the text of the core curriculum might sometimes be a bit tricky. So that's why it's really important that we discuss together the meaning of the core curriculum and what the transversal competencies actually mean in practice. So in many courses, we discuss them and then try to come up with useful ways to enhance them in learning.
All right. Thank you, Toni. I think it'd be really interesting to talk about these various transversal competencies, but for today, we've decided to talk about multiliteracy. So now we'll go into a little bit more detail about that. So multiliteracy, as already mentioned, is one of the 7 transversal competence areas in basic education in Finland. It's also included in one of the cross-curricular themes in general upper secondary education. In a nutshell, the aim of multiliteracy is to promote students' capacity to interpret, produce, and make value judgments across a variety of different texts, and to interpret the world around them and to perceive its cultural diversity. But it doesn't sound very simple, though. The concept of multiliteracy, or multiliteracies in the plural, was created due to globalization and digitalization. The way texts were produced and interpreted changed and became much more multifaceted. Text is no longer only written or spoken language. Nowadays, text is understood as entities or information that is expressed by systems of verbal, visual, auditive, numeric, and kinesthetic symbols and their combinations. These definitions of multiliteracy and the broad definition of text are really a mouthful. But let's discuss them now in the context of school and teacher education. So, Toni, why is it important to learn multiliteracy?
It is really important because there are different kinds of text types and different forums for finding information. And of course, then we have to be able to value and then assess the nature of the information and whether, for example, it's reliable or not, and where can I find a certain type of information. And text, as you said, is a very broad concept, so it's not just written text. There's visual, and we have videos, songs, posters, so that those kinds of texts are different, obviously, and it depends on the context. So that's why we really need to focus on multiliteracy, so that we understand what kind of information we can find in a particular place and what kind of texts we can find in certain contexts.
Thank you. And Taija, do you have something to add to this question of why is it important to learn multiliteracy?
Well, I would just like to add that I'm very lucky because I've got my colleagues in elementary school, which is like they take care of teaching this in Finnish. So I only get to enjoy everything in English without having to go further into the details or anything like that, because they're so used to analyzing data when it comes to songs and adverbs and different text types, for example. So for us, it's just easy to start using them in a meaningful way in foreign languages.
So you found it easy for the students also to transfer their, or for the people to transfer their knowledge and skills from the Finnish language classroom to the English language classroom or the foreign language classroom?
I would say so, but I think that it means that you need to be aware of what they're doing. So like this close cooperation with the class teachers, knowing what's going on. And for example, when it comes to teaching languages, I've found it very strange. This is slightly off topic, but I need to have this discussion because, for example, when I'm teaching them the objective forms, like me, you, him, and they haven't even learned it in Finnish, it's going to be super difficult that, you know, so what is an objective? So I need to start by teaching them Finnish first, because for some strange reason, it comes a bit later in Finnish.
Yes. So that way you probably want to like coordinate and collaborate with the other teachers in your school, yeah, that can do the timing.
Or then I ask my pupils, I said, well, what do you know about this? Or it's like, you know, tell me what you've studied. And then it's you know, that they start remembering what there's like, so I don't have to explain it because it's them that do the work. And then they remind each other if they don't remember what it was.
Yes, and it's probably so that it's not enough that they only get it taught once. They probably need to practice it throughout their school. Yeah. So which aspects of multiliteracy are emphasized when teaching foreign languages to different age groups? What do you think, Taija?
Well, the younger the pupils are, the less important is the text in the sense that they need something to support their understanding. So pictures, maybe movement, doing things, you know, singing, just so that it's not just based on text. And then, of course, when you start working with older pupils, then you can start producing your own presentations. You can start making videos when you've got the skills in that language. So it's very different, and it changes a lot during the 4 years that I get to spend with them.
All right. You already gave some examples of how multiliteracy is practiced in the classroom. Would you like to still elaborate a little bit how different texts and are used and produced?
So the younger the pupils are, the more versatile, I would say, are the ways of practicing these. So we need a lot of pictures, we need movement, we need songs, and of course, based on their level of English or Finnish, because we might have problems with pupils understanding Finnish as well. So, and then of course, when you're older and you got the vocabulary and you know how to produce text, for example, at the moment with my sixth graders, we have just finished reading novels in English. So they've chosen a book that they're interested in and suits their level. That's where I come in. I help them to choose a book that they can enjoy, that it's not too easy or not too difficult. They read the book. We have some exercises, for example, describe the person, describe the location, explain the plot to me briefly. And they write all these things down and then they make a presentation. So they have a book review and or they might want to choose a different type of, let's say, they might want to make a video. They might want to react whatever they've, like, let's say Cinderella or something like that. A few years back, my class did a play about Henry VIII because they found the story super interesting. And I was combining history into my integrating history. And we're talking about Tudors with our friends in Nottingham. So we had this project together and we had an excellent play in English. So they did the manuscript and acted and filmed. And yeah, so it's like the possibilities are endless. I think that this is just such a vast topic.
Well, definitely sounds like it. Yeah, sounds great. Lots of opportunities to practice it in multifaceted ways. So how about Toni? What do you think? How are the use of different texts and the practice of multiliteracy integrated in language teacher education?
Well, we try to use a range of different text types. Of course, when it's a university that we are talking about, we often read, you know, articles and books. But of course, there are other types of text too. So we use videos, maybe even songs sometimes, and then posters and photos and other visual stuff, because as Taija mentioned, especially with younger students and of course with older ones too, we need these visual aids, and they often might include text too. So then in this way, we as teacher educators set them an example of how to use a range of text types and texts in their teaching. So that's how we try to encourage it.
Okay, and thank you. And then, like, also, like, one of the skills within this multiliteracy is to make value judgments across a variety of different texts. So that's likely something that's also included in your teaching, right?
Yes, definitely. And all this, you know, critical reading and how to value the text and how to decide if it's useful for me and whether the information in it is correct or not or reliable or not. So that's a primary skill for every teacher.
All right, thank you. What about if we think of challenges? Do you see any kind of challenges in the learning of multiliteracy? Do you want to start, Toni?
Well, sometimes, especially with critical reading, it might be difficult to know whether this text is usable, whether I can use it in my teaching or in my thesis or whatever. So sometimes that can be a bit tricky for some students, how to assess, how to know whether the information in this text is valid and useful. So that might be challenging for some students.
Okay, and what about Taija? What kind of challenges do you see in your pupils' learning of multiliteracy?
I think that what affects learning in general as well is the fact that we do have quite a lot of pupils whose language skills are not good enough in any kind of language, so that they might not have words for anything. And that is a problem, so they cannot express themselves. And then we've got pupils who don't, for example, like when you're looking at the time, they don't recognize the clock. They don't know what time it is, like in any language. So that might be challenging when it comes to, you know, using different kinds of texts. But then, of course, we have the pictures to help. We've got different ways of working our way around that. And then, well, I think that being an English teacher, I'm very lucky because the publishers have noticed this and they are producing material. They're producing videos, they're producing songs with a certain vocabulary, certain grammatical aspects that I can use in my teaching, English being the most spoken and taught language in Finland. But whereas when it comes to teaching Spanish, for example, the resources, like it's super hard for me to find material that suits second language learners. So I think that's challenging. And of course, like, because you need to know enough of the language to be able to tackle that. But luckily, there are some nice videos produced by someone else so that we can use. But yeah.
Okay. Well, that sounds really good. That at least some publishers are then helping the teachers out and providing proper resources and good resources to use in the teaching. But sounds like certainly teachers of different languages are in a little bit different situation.
Well, money talks.
So then, yeah, when everybody learns English, then there's also more resources and more textbooks produced for that. One of the dimensions of multiliteracy is multiculturalism. And one of the goals of multiliteracy, or one of the skills within it, is to perceive the world's cultural diversity. Obviously, cultural diversity and culture is part of foreign language learning, but can you tell some practical things of how you include that in your teaching? Maybe Toni can start.
Yes, with my student teachers, for example, we quite often discuss textbooks and what kind of information they contain related to cultural issues. And quite often they include a range of stereotypes about the country, which are not always so accurate. And as a teacher, it's really important that we emphasize that even though this stereotype does exist, it doesn't mean that it, you know, applies to every person from that country. So that is something that I find really important in my courses, so that when we use the textbooks, they have a lot of useful information and they have a lot of good exercises that we can use as teachers. But then we also have to be a bit critical with them and mention, because especially younger students, they don't necessarily understand that these are stereotypes and not all persons from that country are like that stereotype says. So that is really crucial, in my opinion, that we remind our student teachers of that.
That's certainly a really important point. And what about Taija? What would you like to say in relation to diversity?
Well, I agree with Toni. The material at the moment, the newer material that is being produced, the authors are very well aware of the fact that there might be some cultural issues that, as you said, are stereotypes, and they try to avoid it so that we're not necessarily having this kind of issue when it comes to teaching cultures. But whereas we might talk about Diwali, so there's a section that we familiarize ourselves with the biggest festivals of that country that everybody celebrates, and not necessarily talking about cultural stereotypes that much. And I think that it is, especially in elementary school, it is essential to teach our young ones about the diversity of cultures. And sadly, very, very many books still cover the most well-known cultures: British, American, Australian, maybe Indian. But then I would like to see a lot more other cultures as well. And, you know, the kind of text that is suitable for especially younger pupils so that they understand, so that we can then teach them about cultures, but also about maybe supporting their own culture, because Finland is a multicultural country, especially like Helsinki, Espoo area. So we've got a lot of pupils with immigrant backgrounds, or their grandparents might live somewhere else, or So respect and or others to respect their culture as well. So that, okay, so this is what my country is like, or this is what we are celebrating. Oh, that's interesting. And when we are all talking about it together, it's not as we are taking it as something like, so this is what these people over there do, because we've got those all those cultures within our own communities, and this language awareness, cultural awareness is something that is happening in schools all over Finland, whether it's language teaching or anything else. So
yes, that's right. Yeah, and we definitely should have this wider perspective into the cultures and remember how really multicultural Finland is as well, that we would get past the idea of being monocultural and monolingual, as that we're obviously not, and neither is our rare country is like that anyways. So now we've discussed these issues from different perspectives, but is there something that I haven't asked that you would like to add before we end?
Well, I would like to say that when it comes to these opportunities of multiliteracy, or I think that from my point of view, the most important things are that they're increasing the understanding of everyday life. They're like they're the skills that we need no matter what we study. And of course, when pupils get the material and they get to choose, so they can choose what type of text they like or they would like to work on. They would like to, they might want to choose a theme, and then they can just decide. They get this opportunity to go and do something that they're interested in, which means that it increases motivation and it's meaningful. It's not just studying a language because of we need to study a language, but we're studying this language because we're going to do fun stuff with it.
Mm-hmm. And so involving the pupils in the planning is an important factor in school, yes. And what about Toni? What would you like to add?
Yes, regarding these transversal competencies and multiliteracy, I think that our role as teacher educators is really crucial, because then when with the support that we provide, we make it easier for our student teachers when they are in basic practice or advanced practice, when they are giving maybe their first lessons ever. So with the examples that we provide them with, they can have more tools for trying to enhance these skills with their own students. And it's also really vital that we discuss these issues in many courses, so that it's not just for the first course of the semester or something like that, so that they have to be continuously involved with these competencies.
Yes, so that the responsibility is also shared among the different teacher educators.
Yes, definitely.
All right. So now we've discussed the transversal competencies and multiliteracy from multiple perspectives, both in the context of school and teacher education. And we can see that incorporating them into the daily teaching requires planning and purposefulness, and also the inclusion of pupils' perspectives or students' perspectives. And thank you so much to our two guests, Taija and Toni. We really appreciate you taking the time to come and chat with me today. And I really enjoyed our discussion. It was really interesting and thought-provoking, and also, I think, educational and valuable to hear of these different points of view. It's one thing to have these themes and guidelines, for example, in the core curricula, and another thing to really have them realized in the teaching of the subjects or within teacher education. I also want to extend a warm thank you to all our listeners. Thank you for joining us. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Don't forget to look up and listen to the next episode in this series.